Right. So I've got the pleasure of introducing Joe Meadows here. I'm a geologist, so I wanted to say Geo Meadows, but apparently it's Joe.
Yep,
Shh.
it's
Yeah,
Joe.
it's Joe from Kidderminster, who is going to talk about beehive monitor based on a Raspberry Pi. So I'll turn it over to you, Joe. Let's give him a very warm welcome.
Thank you. We've had a little trouble with the display, so I'm struggling with the mouse pointer. I think I've got the hang of it now. We're on extended screen instead of duplicate, which throws me a bit. Okay, Raspberry Pi, obviously, Honey Pie is a nice name, and we thank the Beatles for the intro. Any Pi will do. I have two of these monitors working at the moment. I hope to show you one shortly, live off the internet. So one of them's using a zero, another one's using a two. Three is a bit of a waste, really. There's not that much going on in there, but we'll come on to that. So let's rapidly progress. Okay, so the Honey Pi is now on a Raspberry Pi. It started off on an Arduino, and I've got an Arduino I can show you, anyone who wants to have a look later. But I moved on for that because I wanted to add video and audio, and that's a lot easier with a Raspberry Pi, as is doing remote software updates. So Raspberry Pi it is. Okay, we covered that. Why bother? Mainly because it's fun and it's interesting to see what the bees are up to. 24/7, 12, no matter the weather. You don't have to go down and look at them and weigh things and all that. You can be anywhere in the world and you'll get the information you need. Beekeepers have managed for thousands of years without Honey Pi, but they've had some nasty surprises when they check the bees after being away a while. So this is the advantage of the remote monitoring. It gets you ahead of the game. For example, colonies die in the winter. As soon as this happens, you will know and you will get the indication that they are in trouble, so you can take avoidable action. You know when they're running out of food, because we're weighing the hive all the time. And with a bit of knowledge, you know where the danger zones are. Okay, you can also detect the fact the colony is swarmed, and you can do something about that. For example, I was in holiday in Pembrokeshire a couple of years ago. I saw one night, I made the mistake of going on the internet to see what my bees were doing, which my wife told me never to do. And I saw they'd swarmed, so I convinced her that we had to come back the next day. I was not popular. But the next day, sure enough, I caught the swarm because when they swarm. Oh, yeah, how many beekeepers are here? Okay, you know about the swarming situation. Yeah. When they swarm, they congregate locally, so you've got about a day to catch them normally, and then they sit there and send all the scouts out trying to find a nice home. And then they decide where to go, which could be a couple of miles away, and then you've lost them. But you've got a window of opportunity. So if you can see they've swarmed, you can do something about it. You can also get in the hive, and the beekeepers will understand this, deal with all the queens. I won't go there, it's too beekeeper stuff. You can also see in the spring if you're leaving the honey on too long. Again, certain types of honey, you need to get out the hive quickly. You can also get an indication of whether the hive's lost a queen, and you can do something about that. So there's lots of preventative stuff you can do. Okay, this is one of my hives. It's polystyrene stack. You're not seeing the pointer that I'm seeing. I'll just see if I can use this. Is that showing through the screen? Yeah, great. Okay, well, this is the brood area where the eggs are laid, and these are supers where we try to get the bees to put the honey. So, okay. Now, this is the load cell. And if we just go back to the previous one, what I meant to show you was that on the front of this hive, just about here, there's a hinge, and just about here, there's a hinge. So it's a cantilever. All the weight's on the back of the hive, and that's where the load cell sits. So the load cell screws to the base and takes the weight of the top. So it sees half the weight of the hive. But that's okay, we got software, we can cope. So yeah, that's the load cell. Left-hand side would be clamped to the base, and the right-hand side floats and takes the weight of the hive. All right, so we can use any Pi. So this offers a low-cost monitoring solution. For about £70, you can build this. Very rough figures, £10 for a Pi, £30 for the load cell, £5 for the temperature sensors, £10 for the interface modules, we'll look at them shortly, £10 for the box, and the hardware, well, if you've got a garage like mine full of stuff, it doesn't cost you anything, maybe allow £5. The Bosch load cell, it took me a long time to home in on this. It's rated at 40 kilogram, but because they're only putting half the weight on it, it can cope with 80 kilogram total hive weight, which I had back in July. All the information here, by the way, is on a website called honeypie.me.uk, and the last slide will give you all the links you need to get the information should you wish to pursue it. Okay, here's the circuit diagram. Raspberry Pi. Any Raspberry Pi will have the GPIO here. Standard connector. There's a module required to interface to the load cell. The load cell is a Wheatstone bridge arrangement. You get very, very small signal. You need decent differential amplifiers. So it's all built into this module. You don't have to worry about it. Very simple wiring. The analog interface, there's a four-way analog input. So I've just got two sensors. It obviously could be extended. I've homed in on LM34s. They're nice, easy ones to use. Just 5 volts ground and a signal. So, couldn't be simpler. Okay, I think what I'm going to try and do now, if I can deal with the extended screen problem, is show you something from today. I might need a bit of help here. So this setup's not the normal one for me. I want to get onto the internet. Ah, that's the one. Yeah, great. Okay. So this is real time. All the way from Kidderminster. Right. Okay, let's see what the bees are up to today. I can't see that on my screen. Yeah. So, what have we got? The top left is a day of weight on the hive. What we're seeing is the weight's going up a little bit. I suspect by the end of the day it won't have gone up very much, because if you look on the bottom left curve, you've got the weight over 10 days. And forget the drop at the beginning, that's me taking off some supers. But it's generally a downward trend. The bees are actually going out and expending more fuel in the way of honey than they're compensating for by what they bring back. So it's a downward trip now. It's typical this time of year. They're just consolidating, planning for the winter, as bees do. Top right is the brood temperature. Right. It's between 32.5 and 34.5. It's pretty good. It's showing me that there's brood in there. There are eggs, there are larvae. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so high. They wouldn't need to keep it so high. Bees have to keep it at that temperature to maintain the larvae. The outside temperature is the bottom right. Okay. So last night wasn't too cold, so those in the tent will know that. Right. I need to get back on, so I need to do control that, and that. Excellent. No, it's not there. Oh, great. Okay, back on PowerPoint. So we've had a look at the circuit diagram. We've had a look at the today's information from Kidderminster. Nothing of great note. Right, the software. Very briefly, there's a Raspberry Pi operating system, free download, obviously. The PyHive.py is a Python script that I've done, available. That deals with the load cell via the HX711 module. And it deals with the two temperature sensors. And it passes data to ThingSpeak, which is the magic thing about it. We'll come back to that in a second. There's another module, which is save zero. This is for getting the zero, the tarring on the system, so that when there's no weight on the load cell, you measure the zero, and then the software pulls that in as an offset every time. Now, a couple of test loops here. 8592.py, that's just a test loop. You use it with the terminal. And the test 711 is another test loop. These are all available and downloadable. Okay, we upload to ThingSpeak every 6 minutes. ThingSpeak is free service for low usage. Takes data, presents it on a series of charts, as an HTML page, so you can look at it on your browser, anywhere in the world, on your mobile phone, anywhere. You can average the inputs to give different presentations. So the top left that we looked at was the day's worth of weight, but below that there was 10 days worth of weight. Same information, just presented differently, gives you different information. So let's look at an interesting day in July. Okay. Right, well, this is in the heat wave. Bottom right, you can see the temperature bombing up to 30 odd each day. And if you look at the lower left, you've got a nice weight buildup. It's building up from 60 to over 80 kilograms over 10 days. That's a lot of weight. At its peak, they were pulling in about 4 kilograms a day. That is a lot of honey for one beehive. Top left is interesting. You can see 0800 on the left side of the x-axis. They go out about that time. Well, they're out earlier than that in the heat wave, but they don't bring much back till about 4 o'clock. I suspect they didn't go out very much because it was a bit hot. And then in the evening, they pulled everything back. They didn't pull anything back in the day. It all came in the evening after 4 o'clock. And then they pulled back. What have we got here? About over 2 kilos. That's not bad for an evening shift. So interesting. It was so hot during the day, they didn't bother. Top right is interesting. Well, I think it's interesting. I don't know whether you can see the laser pointer here, but this is the brood temperature. They're maintaining it between about 33 and 34 degrees. So when it zooms up, because the temperature outside is high, they will cool it down by fanning, and they'll bring it down. It'll sit there, and then it'll go up again. So they've got to keep oscillating up and down, but they maintain it to within half a degree of optimum, which tells you there's a 1 degree dead band in the bee's temperature measurement system, which is just as well. Otherwise, they'd be working their socks off trying to achieve control that they don't need. 1 degree is fine. Now, the bit I don't understand about this curve is that the hysteresis reduces as the heat wave progresses. I keep thinking about that one. One day I'll understand it. But it shows how much you can get out of these charts. You can spend quite a lot of time studying them and thinking about them, as I do. Okay. So this is about the temperature charts we've looked at. I think we've covered all this. Yeah, okay, the hive was getting full. Two problems there. It could induce swarming, and beekeepers do not like swarming. All your workers disappear. Half your workers go away with the queen. You've lost your honey-gathering potential. So beekeepers do lots of cunning things to try and get over that problem, try and preempt it, really. So that curve of the gradual increase in temperature also tells me it's time to spin the honey, time to pull off the supers, put in the centrifuge, and pull the honey off. I've done very well on honey this year. Each hive has given me over 100 jars. Right, I need to say something about an alternative way of presenting data. If you go on the internet and check out Hivestock, the Hivestock uses, it's a JavaScript file that resides within your browser page. And it uses the ThingSpeak data and presents it on a much longer time base. You can show a whole year's worth of data. So you can show historical data. This is a trace from actually the Arduino one because it's got more temperature, it's got more sensors, it's got humidity on this. I decided to abandon that. It wasn't doing me any good. But when I went to Raspberry Pi, I forgot the humidity. So this is one day's worth. And on the bottom here, you can drag that and you can have a variable time. You can pull down more data. You can have a week's worth of data, months of data. You can have a whole year's worth of data if you've got the patience to deal with it. And just to show that that's possible, this is 1 year for my two hives combined using PaintShop Pro. So it's two traces. Very similar sort of events are going on, although each hive is different. And there's a lot of detail there that won't show, like when they swarmed, when I put supers on, took the supers off. But generally, we're coming out of winter. It's building up. That step there, I put some supers on, another super going on, and then a really good honey flow coming here. Took loads of honey off here, and then it goes up, peters away, and we're back into August and autumn and heading into winter. So the bees are always planning ahead. But that's the information you can get off HiveChart. Really interesting stuff. Okay, I was going to do a plug for PaintShop Pro. I'll forget that. We're running out of time. This is a classic swarm trace. Okay, there's several pointers. It always happens May or April, sometimes June, July, but I've never experienced that. There's a peak April, May, and it's usually about midday, and you can see on that chart there's a 1 kilogram drop. Now, that 1 kilogram isn't the wage of the bees, that's the fuel. They've all tanked up on honey, and they're away with the queen. Half the colony's gone off of the queen, and they'll be sitting on a tree or a fence, very local to me, when that happens. The other parameter that's always the case is they always do it when I'm on holiday. I don't know how they manage that, but they're pretty good. Okay, another trace. This is Hivespeak coming out of winter. The danger time in winter is about March because they're eating food, they're preparing the brood, they're always planning ahead, they're getting thousands of young bees ready for the spring, so when the pollen's around and the nectar's around, they've got the workforce available. But they need to get that workforce ready in the winter. And of course, that means they need to get the temperature up to 34 degrees, and that means they need to consume a lot of food. So the danger time is round about here. Coming out of winter, April, I think that is. I can't read it backwards. And then magically, they take off. There's food coming in. But of course, with this system, if I see that weight is getting a bit low, I can give them some food. I can give them some hard food, or I can give them a liquid feed. Right, so that's about it. Future work, possibly image recognition. So you can detect swarm patterns on the front of the hive because there are certain things, you know, you get the front of the hive will be plastered with bees. You can do image recognition and you get advanced notification. With ThingSpeak, I think you can send an alarm to your mobile even. So you can do audio analysis, microphone for airborne sound. You have an accelerometer mounted on the wood of the frame for frame-borne sound. I'll finish off with one sound clip. Which may not come up. Wow, there should be a hyperlink on that.
Great. Well, we're have the microphone up. It's up.
Hello. There we go. Let's have a big round of applause for Joe while I get this up.
Put the last screen up.
Good? Okay.
Okay.
I want the last screen because...
Oh, you want the last screen up. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Unfortunately, we're over time, so there's no time for questions. I'm sure Joe would be happy to answer your questions afterwards outside the tent. So thank you very much and really appreciate your time and attention. Please remember we need volunteers, so please volunteer at the info tent or the green room if you have any time at all. I have been volunteering today, being the herald on stage today, and I would really appreciate it if any of you who have the time would volunteer as well. Thank you very much.